104.7 Adelaide's Triple M ruined its for breakfast. Roo, you are very, very passionate about the River Murray and water in general in this country.
Yep.
The Darling is in all sorts of strife, isn't it?
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's heartbreaking. Brings a tear to your eye when you watch the videos that you're seeing. It is absolutely devastating for just people who love the environment, who love fishing, who love the outback, but it must just be absolutely, totally heartbreaking if you're someone who relies on it every single day.
For sure. Now, there's a young lady that we've seen on TV. I saw her on the project, and she's spoken beautifully about the plight of the farmers and about all of the people that live on along the Darling and in her area. Kate McBride, fifth-generation farmer along the Darling. They're about 2 hours east of Broken Hill, and she's on the line this morning. Kate, good morning.
Good morning, gents.
Kate, this is a very, very sad story. I saw the package on the project. People are just distraught, and I don't know, where do you go from here? What are you suggesting either the government does or people can do, or is it just about we need rain?
The scary thing is it's happening again sort of today and yesterday. We're seeing another fish kill, which is probably worse than the first one, so there will probably be more than a million fish this time as well. The upsetting thing is there's nothing we can do immediately to save these fish. There's no water coming down. So we're saying that we can do a few things. So to start with, we need the government of New South Wales and Queensland to put embargoes in place so that any water that is in the catchment can get down to hopefully, by the time it gets down, maybe save the last few fish. Moving on from that, we also are calling for a federal royal commission to get to the bottom of what's going on. Because right now, as you can see, Western New South Wales is in some real trouble. I mean, we're not just seeing these fish deaths, but as you saw on the project, further up, there's no water at all. You know, and these townships and family farms that rely on us are suffering. So we need to support them. So, and there's also a lot of donations going around for water and things. So if you can keep an eye online for putting donations out for clean drinking water, because that's something that we don't have right now.
Kate, South Australia wanted a royal commission, and they've done it only for this state because the other states wouldn't agree to it, about mismanagement of the water, about water theft. I think the senior counsel, Brett Walker's, gave the results to state government here yesterday. They haven't come out yet. We're all very, very keen to find out what he's found out about what has happened with the management of the Murray-Darling Basin. Do you think it's a combination of mismanagement and drought, or is it more the drought, or is it more the mismanagement? What do you think?
I think it's purely mismanagement. Of course, the drought had a bit of an effect on the blue-green algae getting going, but we've dealt with droughts in the past, and that's something we're quite familiar with out in Western New South Wales, and we live through them, and especially through them. I mean, these Murray cod, they're decades and decades old. They've lived through them before.
So what's happened differently then?
Yeah, so the way that it's happened is that these fish kills are just below the Menindee Lakes, and so it's a regulated system. Now, in 2016, the Menindee Lakes were near full, so that should be about 7 years' worth of water. Unfortunately, the government and the Murray-Darling Basin Authority sent this water down far too quickly, so now we're 2.5 years down the track, and there's no water left.
Why did they do that?
That's questions that we're asking as well. And the other part of mismanagement is the fact that too much extraction is occurring further up. The water and the flows that are meant to get down to the Menindee Lakes to refill them and reboost them during times like hardships, it's just not getting down anymore. And I think a royal commission could hopefully look at this, and like a federal royal commission could look at this and say, look, too much extraction is occurring and we're not leaving enough for the environment that the communities rely on.
So over allocation of water use by cotton growers upstream?
Not just cotton, you know, whatever they're growing up there, that's a problem. But the buck stays with the New South Wales government and the Queensland government. They've handed out these licences. These people have licences, and with those, they can grow whatever they choose.
That's right.
So it's not cotton growers' fault. They're going to choose to grow whatever they decide to. I think there's questions that need to be asked, whether cotton as well as almonds are a big problem now. Are they suited to be growing in the middle of the outback? I mean, that's
very
the question,
question
we're asking too.
Yep, good questions. The report that I saw, Kate, people have got water coming out of their taps that smells. They're talking about sulphur.
It's
unusable. You can't bathe in it. I mean, these are real, real desperate times.
Oh, absolutely. So we're on red alert for blue-green algae, and that's actually been linked to motor neuron disease. So already we've seen 3 cases in Menindee of motor neuron disease.
What are you doing for drinking water and bathing water? Are you bringing it in trucks, or what's going on?
Yep. So the council is currently paying transport. We're paying for the water to be delivered to our place, our potable water, so we can shower and drink it. But we have to sign an indemnity form that pretty much says that if we get sick or even die, that we have no claim. We can't do anything about it. We've got no option other than that. And it's filtered river water. So they say that blue-green algae won't even die if you boil it. So what do they think filtering is doing? It's absolutely, like, it's scary. But we've got no other option. So we're having to find these films. People are giving this to their children, but they've got no other options. It's terrifying.
So you live off on a property. I presume it's either sheep or goats. Is it that you make money from, or...?
Yep. So I'm fifth generation. Out in Western New South Wales, we have a property that 500,000 acres, and we run sheep and then harvest wild goats as well.
Yep, and I presume you've had to sell most of your sheep, have you?
We've destocked slightly. We've always run a slightly smaller herd than a lot of people in the area for the land that we have. So we're sort of dealing with it because the other thing is we are going through a bit of a drought, which is tough, but it's not causing what's going on and what we're seeing. So we're managing with the drought and everything, but what's really hard is we're giving this water still to our stock because we've got no other options. So we're having to use algae blocks, but it's not just them as well. It's the kangaroos and the emus and, you know, the goats, all these wild animals that are out there.
Well, I saw a lady on a show last night said, you know, she was walking around with a .22 rifle and just killing animals that weren't going to make it through. That was the option that she had to take. So that's how tough it is.
No, absolutely. And sometimes you've got to do the tough thing and it's really, really hard and it breaks everyone's heart to do it. But sometimes it's easier and better for the animal.
Kate,
I never like to see it.
I know these things have been said before and they're cliches, but this is third world country stuff. And I can't get over this. In my lifetime, to think that people like you are having water trucked in, I never, ever thought. My entire life, I've turned a tap on and had clear drinking water and water to bathe in. This is ridiculous.
Oh, it's scary. And you look at Wilcannia just up the river, their life expectancy is 42 for females and 37 for males. That's the conditions that we're living with out there. That's the life expectancy in Australia's backyard.
Well, let's all do a rain dance and hope something can change, Kate, because we need a big swing of luck to happen in that whole area. And hopefully there is a Royal Commission federally. And if people have been stealing water or over allocating it, or even the people who've been making wrong decisions, if that has been the case, they need to be held to account so that this never happens again, because let alone sheep and humans or whatever, but you're not going to turn around 100 years of fish in the Darling very quickly. So it's a tragedy, and all the best.
Yeah, good luck, Kate.
Things happen.
Thanks, gents.
Kate, well done. You you represent your people well, and this whole story. So congratulations. Thanks for talking to us.
Cheers, guys.
Good on you. Yeah. Kate McBride, fifth generation farmer up there on the Darling Roo. What a terrible, terrible story. And it's actually embarrassing as Australians.
Oh, it's a disgrace.
How could this have happened?
It's actually an environmental disgrace, catastrophe, really.
And in stories we've heard I've seen a couple of docos on the ABC over the last couple of years of people using water they weren't meant to use, politicians agreeing to giving mates water and all these sorts of things. These people, you said it, they need to be held accountable.
Yeah, and I love going. The Darling is one of the most beautiful places in Australia. Lots of people probably haven't been there, but it is unbelievable. And it's not going to be the same for a fair while.
What an impressive lady, Kate McBride.